submission is from Gilbert and Tobin Centre on Public Law, Dr. Andrew Lynch. Dr. Lynch, thank you very much for your submission. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'd firstly like to thank the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission for the opportunity to make a submission and also the invitation to speak this afternoon. As indicated in the covering letter to our submission, the Gilbert and Tobin Centre confines its comments simply to the constitutional issues attendant upon possible solutions to the disadvantage to same-sex couples, which the inquiry's many other submissions seek to bring to light. Using the time allocated to me to speak to our submission, I propose simply to go through the main points raised, and I'm happy to take then questions on any of those. Our starting premise is that the only way to properly address the discrimination under investigation is through the legal recognition of same-sex unions. While ensuring that same-sex couples are able to enjoy the same status as de facto heterosexual couples would be an important and valuable achievement, the core of discrimination remains, since heterosexual de factos have the option to remove any remaining disadvantage by having their relationship formally recognised through the law by marriage. As we said, beyond all the individual and specific examples of disadvantage to same-sex couples lies this one central distinction between their position and that of different sex couples. They have no means of formally declaring their relationship as a legal union. From that point, the submission moves on to consider how best to enable formal recognition. While, for the very same reasons that commend the regulation of marriage by the central government, the ideal would be for a national scheme, we submit that the Commonwealth does not have an obvious source of power with which to establish this. And that takes us to probably the key constitutional consideration raised by our submission, which is the meaning of the grant to the Commonwealth of power to make laws with respect to marriage under Section 5121 of the Commonwealth Constitution. Essentially, while we think a case could be made for an interpretation of that clause as including regulation of same-sex unions, and I'd point to the suggestions by Justice McHugh raised in our submission in a couple of cases, that changes to contemporary standards might support a broader reading of the marriage power than existed in 1900. The more orthodox approach seems likely to limit the meaning of marriage to a voluntary union for life between a man and a woman. Certainly it's difficult to see the present High Court adopting a methodology which interpreted the power at a sufficiently general level of abstraction so as to include same-sex unions. The consequence of this, though, is not just that the Commonwealth appears to lack the power to legislate for same-sex unions, but that it must also lack the power to legislate against them, in which case state laws which equate same-sex unions with marriage are immune from inconsistency with the Commonwealth's Marriage Act. I must acknowledge that since we made our written submission, the Commonwealth Government has acted to nullify the ACT's Civil Unions Act, contrary to sort of early indications made by the Attorney-General. In late May, the Commonwealth arrived at the view that that legislation was incompatible with its own regulation of marriage. Of course, as we acknowledged, the position of the territories is quite distinct from that of the states, and the Commonwealth's ability to override the ACT Legislative Assembly in this instance isn't to the point where similar laws to be passed by the states. The Tasmanian Relationships Act of 2003 is a good example of what might be done, and it has managed not to attract the ire of the Commonwealth. Indeed, it seems that the main reason the Commonwealth requested the Governor-General to disallow the ACT law was the arguably provocative nature of the drafting. That Act said, a civil union is different to a marriage but is to be treated for all purposes under territory law in the same way as a marriage. The Tasmanian scheme doesn't employ that language. It instead provides for registration of what are called significant relationships. Registration provides proof of the relationship and the persons are taken to be in a personal relationship for all purposes under Tasmanian law. Importantly, it's open for different and same-sex couples to register a deed of relationship with the Tasmanian Registrar of Births, Deaths and Marriages. Same-sex couples who do so would be recognised as being in a civil union under Section 212 of the UK's Civil Partnership Act of 2004. While the Tasmanian law is an important initiative, it does stop short of putting same-sex de factos on a par with marriage. It's really a device whereby non-married couples of whatever gender can readily establish the existence of a relationship without having to go into particulars to satisfy a court. Provision of that mechanism which in other states is only available by actually being married, removes an immediate form of discrimination. But doubtless, and I must admit I'm not well placed to comment, there are instances under Tasmanian law where distinctions persist between married and de facto couples. Registration by a same-sex couple as being in a personal relationship doesn't overcome that. The clearest way to do so, of course, is to employ the drafting which proves so fatal to the ACT Act. I believe the states could stave off constitutional challenge if taking that approach resulted in one from the Commonwealth, though they may not trouble, they may not wish to invite that kind of trouble. And of course, you've still got the problem that the registration scheme in Tasmania has no application to federal laws, nor indeed the laws of other states. As we said, the optimal situation is for formalisation of same-sex unions to be administered by the Commonwealth, though this may require a referral of power from the states. At present, the Commonwealth is not seeking power for this purpose, and I think it's fair to say that they're unlikely to do so in the immediate term. But the states could still work cooperatively to achieve a coordinated national system along the model used in Tasmania. If minded to do so, the Commonwealth could use this as a means to remove disadvantage to same-sex couples under those areas of its control. This would not necessitate it creating a scheme for civil unions itself, but just recognition of that which exists at the state level and extending to it the same entitlements which are applied to marriage in federal laws. As I said at the outset, I'm happy to discuss any of these specific questions in greater detail, but it's probably more helpful if I close the opening presentation so as to leave time for those issues which you want to explore further.
I wanted to explore with you the powers of the Commonwealth to introduce some form of a registration system. And as I understood what you were saying, you thought there were some perhaps limitations on the Commonwealth power to do that.
They could perhaps do it. I mean, under specific legislative programs that they already have control over, but so far as a standalone scheme of registration, our argument would be that that falls outside of marriage, and I can't find any other obvious power for them to use. The one which we did suggest was perhaps using the territory's power, whereby they could establish it in the territories in which the states could sort of dovetail their own schemes onto, which would enable the Commonwealth to control it and have a single system. But there wasn't. There's no other source of power which immediately occurs as suitable for that purpose.
But to go down the territory's power argument that you put forward, it would require the will to do so by the Commonwealth Parliament. It would be much easier just to get a referral of powers if the will was there, would it not?
I suppose so. I mean, either way, you're looking at some... In order for it to be effective, you're looking for cooperation across the states. It depends on whether the Commonwealth wishes to be... To the extent to which the Commonwealth wishes to lead in this area. I think using the territory's power certainly requires them to take that initiative. The referral, arguably, that you could make the same comment of, but the states could certainly approach the Commonwealth with that as an issue that they feel. And in fact, I think the way in which that clause of the Constitution is expressed is to suggest that it's a topic that the states wish the Commonwealth to legislate upon.
Mm. Well, many of the individual federal acts make provision for heterosexual de facto relationships. It would be within the power of the Commonwealth to specify a registration system, for example, to deal with both heterosexual and same-sex relationships within the particular Act.
Certainly.
But your point is that it may not be possible to do it in one global enactment.
I think not, and then you still have the problem that I was raising in relation to the Tasmanian scheme, in that even if you create that registration system, until a registered relationship is recognised as being on a par with the entitlements available through marriage, then you still don't have complete equality between same-sex relationships, given the options which are available to people in a same-sex couple as they are in a heterosexual couple.
But what about some provision that simply said that upon meeting the criteria or registration, the person so registered would be entitled to the same benefits as a married person under Commonwealth legislation?
Well, that would certainly do it. But that's taking it beyond that level of simply recognising it as a de facto relationship. I suppose, though, it's whether... I mean, that could potentially be challenged on the same basis as the Commonwealth objected to the ACT legislation, in that if some interested party takes the view that that's an attempt to say it's a same-sex couple is akin to a Clayton's marriage, the argument could be raised, well, the Commonwealth cannot take something which is not a marriage, given the narrow definition of that as a heterosexual union, and say that a same-sex union is the same thing. So, there's the potential for constitutional challenge on that basis, but certainly I think it'd be a welcome initiative.
Thank you. Ryan, if you could.
I think you've probably covered the areas I was going to raise.
Thank you very much for raising those issues. I think we will have to digest your submission over many hours of work, but thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Helpful. Thank you.